Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to the interview from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
Is enough to have made the whole movie worth it?
Super fair. Totally yeah. Get that. Honestly, also appreciated it as an adult.
Yeah,
I still and that's where it stopped. That's where it stopped.
But for see, me. As a kid, that made it worth watching the movie for me because I could be like, "Oh, I want to watch the movie with the duck in it because it's great." And then they'd be like, "Oh, okay, cool." And it's like, "Yes,
the first
chick in the bathhouse in panties." All right.
Oh, it wasn't the bare duck breasts that got you hot, Ron. It was
the
panties in the bathhouse. Okay.
Okay. So we'll get into it when we start talking.
Actually, but duck titties is my first note of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my No, I don't have it on my notes. I just wanted to bring it up.
My only note was duck titties ? And then I had two notes. Was wait, George Lucas fucking made this? And
yeah.
Then
right, I didn't even remember that George Lucas made this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
he probably
fun,
liked
yeah.
it that way.
God, yeah. Well, and I'll get into that. All right. So let's go ahead and start out. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Rundown Reviews. I'm your host, Joe. With me today is Ronald. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, everybody.
Also with us, from the Elite Eight Showdown, we got Big Chuck.
Hey, Mr. Gennaro. Thanks for having me on, finally. I can't wait to do better than Tim.
See, you showed up on time.
Good, healthy competition.
Yeah, yeah, so you showed up on time, so already you're doing better.
Oh, yeah. Sick burn.
Yeah. Showed up on time and the correct day, which is great. Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
And you didn't have to message him to remind me to ask me where I was.
You know what? I should have messaged him anyway.
You should have. Actually, that would have been fucking.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna message him right now.
Just like, message him right now. Hey, I'm recording with Charlie. Do you know where he is?
Be like, I'm trying to reach Charlie. We were supposed to record an hour ago. Any words? I still do that. Okay. While I'm doing that, Does one of you, maybe Ronald, actually, no, hold on. We'll do it this way. Charlie, Big Chuck.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell everybody the movie we're watching and give your first, you know, because this is the first time you watch this.
Yeah.
Give your description of this movie.
All right. Folks, I was told to come on this show to enjoy the 1986 classic, Howard the Duck. What I ended up watching was an abortion of just epic, disgusting. This movie is interesting. It is a very 80s movie. Everything about it just screamed like, this is an 80s action comedy, but there's no action. And the comedy is like, if you squint your eyes and use your imagination, it's comedy. It's funny. Which is like, fine. And the crazy part about it was this budget must have been gigantic.
I'll get into
of
that.
Like crazy proportion because the production quality was fantastic. I love the production quality of this movie. So we watched Howard the Duck. And the thing is, I was excited. I am a huge Howard the Duck fan. I like Howard the Duck. I've read a few of his comics, the like mid to late 2000s, like era when they kind of did that like big relaunch of Howard the Duck. And the most recent, kind of recent adaptation with, where they introduced Gwenpool into the universe and everything.
I've read that one.
I thoroughly loved, I love him in Marvel Zombies 3. Is probably one of my favorite arcs for Howard the Duck ever when he teams up with Dum Dum Dugan. It just absolutely tickles me. And I really like him in other stuff. My co-host and I over at Elite Showdown, Tim, we have this thing called the Hulk syndrome, in that by himself he's not that great, But when he's put into other people's storylines, that's where he shines. And Howard the Duck shines in other people's storylines. So I absolutely love it. When he teamed up with the Punisher, probably one of my favorite Punisher arcs ever. I don't know why. Just loved when he teamed up with the Punisher. Because he got to wear the t-shirt, I guess. I don't know. But so I was excited about this movie. My first question, Mr. General, have I hurt you in some way? Did I do something to you to make you? Because this is now the second dumpster fire of a movie you've made me watch for this show.
Batman 66 is not a dumpster fire.
Oh, because, you sure about that? You positive? Because it felt like I was watching a dumpster fire.
Whether we get
and you made me pay $4 for it. So
I was going to pay you back. Shut up. Every time. So the funny thing is, the reason why I asked you about coming on for this one was because, and you, I think it was either on Elite 8 or it was in us talking, messaging each other. You had stated that Tim had turned down Howard the Duck and you got really offended. Yeah. Like you were really mad about that. So I'm like, oh,
yes,
you must really like Howard the Duck. I'll get you on here for that. Yes. I didn't know you had never seen this movie.
I had never seen this movie. I knew it existed. I knew that normal non-comic book diehards / extreme angry neckbeard crusty guys hate this movie.
Hate it. I was like,
well, I don't know. It was pretty accurate most of the time. this movie was just awful. And I thought to myself, okay, they're all dumb. Howard the Duck is great. Obviously, you can't take the movie seriously, right? Because it is a duck. The biggest thing that I learned
watching... You didn't take this movie seriously?
I tried. So I actually did try. I was like, all right, there's got to be some redeeming... And there are elements of Howard the Duck comics in this that I actually definitely enjoyed. The more adult humor in it, when That's it wasn't it just super... Yeah, right. Wasn't super crude, was really good. There was a lot of stuff that I really liked. I think the two things that hurt it the most was that it was an 80s movie written in the 80s, which dialogue back then was never really good, and that really showed here. And B, the fact that it was live action, that duck was fucking creepy.
Go ahead, Rob.
The naked duck woman was creepier than Howard was.
I will give you that.
Okay, super fair. That was, I don't know whose artistic decision that was. But
they've never seen duck titties in their life, apparently.
Yeah, that did not. Literally, that just did not
real,
look good.
Real titties, regular titties, but with feathers.
They weren't even regular titties. They were like bad tit job titties with feathers.
Yeah, they looked like paper mache boobs, and I got really concerned about it. Yeah,
is it bad that I'm having really weird deja vu right now?
A little
duck titties.
Yeah. Like, dead serious. I'm having some deja vu.
Well, they changed something in the Matrix, apparently. We must have been getting too close to a secret, guys.
Yeah. Okay.
This movie. So, Chuck, you brought up the budget. The budget for this movie was $30 to $37 million.
What?
Holy shit.
In 1986. The box office was $38 million. So this was a failure. Obviously.
It was. Yeah, it was a failure on many.
It only made $15 million domestically, I think. Yeah. So the other what was that? 23 million was foreign.
which usually happens, like, by the time done, and like with international sales, they'll at least make their money back on it,
but not this. Read what in one of the trivias that apparently this movie was so bad that all of the actors were having a hard time finding work afterwards, but I don't believe that one bit, because like I know Leah Thompson, she was in a couple of movies, but she had Caroline in the City for, 5 years? Tim Robbins was just 4 years, about 7 years away from doing Shawshank Redemption, and who's the other guy? Jeffrey Jones, who played Jennings, like, he had an elusive career after. Like, I don't know who they must have been talking about, like, everybody else, because those three, the main three outside of the guy who did Howard, went on and had careers. So I that's one of those trivias where I'm like, I question it because it's on IMDb and anybody can post whatever on there. So I don't know. So obviously I said the cast, the Ed Gale, was the gentleman in the Howard the Duck suit, but then they had like another, they had Jordan Prestance, who did, some other performances. He was another additional suit performer, Tim Rose, Steve Sleep, Peter Baird, Mary Wells, and Lisa Sturtz. Were the puppeteers, and there was definitely times where you could tell that was a puppet versus a guy in a suit, and that's when it got weird. And then Chip Zine, Z-I-E-N, I guess how you say it. He did the voice of Howard. So
I think that's what also bothered me. It's weird because the voice, I felt like the voice did not match the look of Howard.
Okay.
I was expecting like Chainsmoker voice. Because he looked like he was 92 years old.
Similar to what Seth Green did in Guardians of the Galaxy with Howard?
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually...
Literally what I was expecting.
Yeah. That actually works perfect. Like, I would love to see a Howard the Duck movie now with Seth Green.
I think they could do it and make it look really good.
Totally think they could do
it. Absolutely.
They have a lot of odd characters. Make it a movie with Howard and Comet. Why not? Maybe even throw a rocket in there for whatever reason.
So very realistically, I don't know if a movie, but I could definitely see a small limited run series where it's like Howard the Duck. Yeah, like Howard the Duck, Cosmo. They work in like
Cosmo.
Oh yeah, right.
It's Cosmo. I was wrong.
Right? Isn't Comet the
Super Full House Dog?
No, that's the Full House Dog. I don't know. Maybe Rocket could work his way in there. I want Throg in there. I want Lockjaw, Hellcow, like animals.
Yeah. I said they're never gonna do Lockjaw because no one can do it in humans right now for whatever reason. That's right. They had a shitty TV show.
Well, Fox still owns it, right? Still on Fox's
in humans? No, Marvel owns it. That's why they did the show on ABC back in like 2016.
Oh, was it ABC? I couldn't remember if it was ABC or Fox.
I forgot about that show.
Everybody forgets about that show because nobody watched it. I think people watch the first episode and like, no, this is not what this is stupid. And then for whatever reason, Disney kept trying to push in humans as the new mutants because they didn't have the rights to the mutants. So they were like, oh, well, we could do something that's just like mutants, but better. And so like, I remember them pushing Inhumans on TV show. Like that's when they came in on, Age of the Shield. And then they also were pushing mutant or, Inhumans hard in the comics, and I think the comics one sort of worked, but they also had 50 years of comic background to play with versus maybe 6 months worth of television things to try and build on. So yeah, I don't know. So this movie it is one of the worst films of all time. It's what it says. In the years since its release, it has been considered among the worst films of all time. But it also says it has developed a cult following. I definitely would say this is not the worst film of all time. I didn't like it. But I know we have seen
way worse.
At least three that are worse than this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I mean,
I don't have the list in front of me right here, but.
Oh yeah, I got your
like. It was bad. It was objectively bad, but it's still like an 80s nostalgia bad.
Yeah, well, and that's
like you can still go back and like there was funny parts. I liked Quack Fu. It was fine.
Quack Fu was fun. Yep, same.
Yeah, like I liked things like that. That was cute. The production quality on this movie was phenomenal. Like way more than they should have had.
So I, funny anyway. Funny enough, in October 5th of 2017, a 70mm print of the movie was screened at the Egyptian Theater's Beyond Fest with over 400 people attending. Leah Thompson, who attended the screening as well, said that the event was better than the initial premiere of the movie. So yeah, yeah. it's got a cult following. There are people who really enjoy this film.
Man, I wonder what Leah Thompson looks like nowadays.
She's still literally the same. She does not age.
She's got a little crow's feet, but she's still hot. She still looks awesome. Fun note is that Leah Thompson is singing all those songs in the movie. Oh, that's actually her singing, which is pretty cool.
That wasn't really Howard playing the guitar, though.
I mean, it was a guy in a suit pretending to play a guitar.
So yeah, you're telling me those gigantic duck fingers weren't actually shredding on that guitar, Ron? Crazy thought.
He'd have been better off with feathers.
Yeah.
According to reports at the time of the movie's release, George Lucas, who is the director, was director or producer? He was director, I thought.
I feel like he's famous for something else, but I don't know.
The thing that I saw pop up said producer, okay, but producer. I think was both.
Willard Huck directed it. Okay. So yeah, okay. He produced this. But reports say that Lucas had just built the $50 million Skywalker Ranch complex and was counting on this film to get him back in the black.
Man,
he made a bad decision.
I mean, if there is ever a man who is the prime example of just hitting gold once, it's George Lucas. He knocks it out of the park with Star Wars and then just craps on everything else he's ever made, including Star Wars.
I would ouch.
That's not wrong.
Well, I mean, American Graffiti is still a classic movie, and that came out after the first Star Wars.
I think. Sure. Yes, that was his. His start. I'll give you American Graffiti.
Maybe it was the first one.
The six other people that remember that movie will give you American Graffiti.
But there's also another movie that he has made. It definitely did not get a lot of. It's one of those underdog movies that not a lot of people talk about. Radioland Murders. Don't know if you guys. I think I told Ron you about this at one point in time. But it's a movie that he. I'm pretty sure he produced. Let me double check.
Did he do Willow?
Willow is a fantastic
maybe.
And is Willow the same guy who is Howard?
No, because Willow is
Professor Quirrell in the Harry Potter movies.
He's also in Star Wars. He's Wicket in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
because all I saw was a photo of him on IMDb, and I wasn't sure if it was him or not, and I didn't care enough to look. I don't have a research team with me.
you didn't pay him enough for this one.
Exactly.
George Lucas wrote the story for Radioland Murders, and that's one of those films. It's got a big cast, ton of people. It's based in like the 50s when just before TV started like hitting, and so it's about this radio station that's trying to get off the ground, and as they're trying to do this, they have to like broadcast for I think 24 hours or something like that, or a certain amount of time. Well, in that time, people start dying, and the one guy is trying to figure out who's killing all these people, but he can't let like the investors know. So it's a fun comedy. I really really like it. Actually, I might have to go find that sometime because I haven't seen that in a while. But yeah, that's another movie that he wrote, so he's got a hand in. I think you're right with Willow. I think he did that one. There's a couple other ones that he's touched. I mean, look at Indiana Jones. He had his hand in four of those Indiana Jones movies, and arguably three of them were good.
Wow, all right. I'll get two and a quarter, maybe. And I'll let you figure out which one's the quarter.
Well, the quarter is Temple of Doom, but
how dare you? I like Temple of Doom.
Crystal Skull is a piece of trash.
That's why that was the zero one.
Yeah, that one doesn't count.
So what? Did, what? Which one did you like? Which one's the quarter? It better not be Last Crusade.
Oh, it's definitely Last Crusade.
Oh, fuck off.
Could not care two shits about Last Crusade. Oh, I don't think Sean Connery was that great in it. Oh. It felt like they were just scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Guys, thanks for listening. Chuck, thanks for coming on. You're never going to be on ever again. No.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
No, just kidding.
Wait, why'd Chuck log off?
Let's see here. There was a couple other ones I saw. I do know that the there is one storyline that came out in, when was it? Comic storyline for Howard the Duck that, oh, I lost it. Where was I? I saw it. Where is it? Hold on. Editing. It's going to be great. Fuck it. I'll just go off. I'll do it live. There was a storyline that came out, I think, in early 2010s, give or take, where they actually have Leah Thompson in the Howard the Duck comic, but she apparently got brainwashed to be Beverly from this movie, and she is working with Howard as he's a private investigator. So I thought that was kind of fun. I need to go find that comic, and because it actually sounds like something I would enjoy and read.
I'd investigate Leah Thompson's private.
Anyway,
there you go. There it is. That's why you have him as your co-host, man.
Yeah, it's what was it that Chris said? We never know what Ron's going to say, and that's why we listen. So, all right. So let's go ahead and talk about this movie a little bit. Is there any Ron? Were there some parts that you other? Okay, hold on. Other than the duck Leah tits and Leah Thompson in her panties. What parts of the movie did you like?
So Jeffrey Jones.
Amazing job.
When he's turning into the evil overlord of the universe or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious. Like, just, I think he's fucking hilarious. Just the sheer, I don't know, presence of what he was being at that point in time made me crack up. Even as an adult.
I loved when they're in the restaurant and Beverly comes running up like, oh, go, you need to go help Howard. I can't. They took away my eggs. It's like, yeah.
I'd also like to point out that the waitress in there did a hell of a great job of acting. Like, probably one of the best actors in the whole movie.
I would disagree with the waitress for them.
Yes.
See, I almost disagree because she was all over the place.
Exactly.
Okay.
She kind of fit the rest of the tone of the movie, which is all over the fucking place.
Chuck,
the only one. So this okay again. I love Howard the Duck, right?
you have to reiterate that.
Yeah, I love Howard the Duck. What actually? I don't know where to. I don't know what to complain about and what to love. There was enough elements in this movie that made me enjoy it. That like I did walk away. But like the nerd guy, professor dude,
Tim Robbins, Tim Robbins is in this movie. I forgot.
Yeah, Tim Robbins, who I looked at and go, isn't that the guy from Aliens? And I was like super confused. Because he looked like the dude from Aliens, just super young. The guy was like, it's game over, man.
It
was him.
No.
Tim's calling me.
Yes. Oh, look, I just got a message from him.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'll message him back real quick.
Now, Gennaro, right. When you sent that, you did say Big Chuck is recording with me right now. Where is he at, right?
What I said, hey, are you able to get a hold of Chuck? We were supposed to record starting an hour ago. He said, yes, he's still a no-show. And I'm going to put, oh, he showed up. We've been recording. I just want to know if you can get a hold of him.
Oh, that's so rude. All right, I'm sorry. So what was the question? Why did I like this movie? Is that what you asked me?
Sure, why not?
Space rating.
Yeah, so like, again, the production quality for the 80s really dragged me into it. Some of the comedy was really funny. Like, there was some actual good one-liners in there and stuff, but the acting hurt a lot. When a man dresses a duck is like some of your better acting, which, like, I'm glad the lead role was really, really good. It was, you know, but overall, like, I didn't care for Lukey or whatever his name was, the nerd dude, Tim Rob,
Larry,
Paul? No.
Philzy.
Yeah, Philzy. That's what it was. I didn't care for Philzy during most of that movie. I agree that the guy who becomes like alien demon lord dude,
Jeffrey Jones.
Yes, I was a big fan. I thought he was probably the best performance in the entire movie. He absolutely killed it in comparison to a lot of people, and you could tell that he was phoning a lot of that in. So, but the prosthetics on him was amazing for the 80s.
Yeah. Like, well, even some of the special effects they had him doing were pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was like Ghostbusters level special effects, and it looked great. I just don't understand what went wrong. Probably trying to make a human duck would be my guess.
But like that, but even Howard in the suit walking around, like, that was fine. That didn't take me out of it, because it literally is just a guy in a suit, and I was okay with that. It was the acting on everybody's part. Like, for example, Leah Thompson is getting harassed after a, or I should say Beverly is getting harassed after a performance and gets pushed into the trash cans. And then there's Howard. And then immediately she, like, feels attached to this character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's this weird.
Sure, the ducks have a corkscrew dick.
Before we get to that comment, let's talk about Joe's comment real quick. But that's like an 80s, like, that's what I meant by like that 80s mantra. Like, this is very much a I don't know what's happening on my phone, but it's blowing up. That is very much an 80s mantra, right? Like, that era of like helpless woman. Man does barely anything to save her, and she immediately falls in love with it.
Right?
Where this pops up, I don't know. Watching this movie, all I could think of was Hulk Hogan and No Holds Barred, and I have no idea why. But I was like, why are these movies so fucking similar? What is going on in this
80s trope? You're not wrong. Like,
yeah, it was an 80s trope. I think because it was just like, he was a human duck. He was a duck man. And she just immediately is just like, I'm attached to him. And
then he was Duckman. She definitely would have been attached because Duckman was an asshole.
Fair.
For anybody that doesn't know, Duckman was a show that was on the USA Network for like, what, two seasons? Something like that.
Yeah, barely two seasons. And he was. Yeah. I actually confused him and like Phil the Platypus was like a kid show, or he was a detective or something.
Perry the Platypus.
I used to confuse those two constantly.
What was it called? Because I used to watch it all the time.
Oh, the show with the kid with the triangle head.
Yeah.
Phineas and Ferb. Two names. There you go.
I love Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I confuse that all the time. I completely forgot what my point was. She like falls in love with him. She brings him home. Right. And then he is like, she's like, yo, let's get to quacking. Right.
That's the second night. Cause the first night he passes out. Cause he had just had a traumatic experience being sucked out of his world.
Right.
Whatever. They sort of kind of explained it, but didn't.
I mean, they literally went comic logic on it and to the literally barely a degree of logic, even in comic logic, which was, we had this giant telescope that could shoot a beam and we just happened to hit Howard.
Yeah.
Was pretty much the extent of it.
But that's the other thing. Out of everybody on that planet, they get Howard, who is like in his apartment
And not he gets ripped through everybody else's apartment.
Which is where we see our duck boot.
Nice comfy chair, though, so it didn't kill him breaking through all those walls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, granted, the fall from outer... Well, going through outer space without, you know, oxygen or any kind of protection, the fall from, you know,
but our atmosphere to the beam. The beam kept him in stasis and kept him, right. You know, oxygenized or...
I mean, everybody knows that, Ron. Come on. That's just NASA. That's just NASA technology right there.
It's unexplainable science is what it is.
Yeah, right. Part of the bingo. So yeah,
I was writing the bingo down because you didn't.
I'm so glad because I couldn't remember all the bingo things we had. The ones I had down were comic book logic and unexplainable science.
Oh, we got a lot. We got a lot in this movie.
Well, right off the bat, when we're introduced to Howard Ray in the beginning, I knew that this was going to be a bit of a mess when it's like, oh, it's literally Earth, but everything is a duck pun. Gotcha. Yep. All right. That makes sense.
He whips out a play duck.
Yep. And I was like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Let's see. I think I got one part where he does get sucked up out of space, out of the planet into space. He gets sucked into the Phantom Zone because he goes into this giant glass thing. I think I also make a comment where they have too many bad Superman references. Oh, that's when Phil was like, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a duck. It's like,
or when he asks him to bend the bar or things with laser eyes.
Yeah, it's like all these bad trying to be. I think there's at one point I got space rabies written down.
Me too.
Space rabies.
What I have for that one is so this 3 foot duck rolls up on these guys and tries to roll for intimidation. Ends up with a natural one, gets thrown across the bar.
Yep.
Back up on the bar, rolls another one for deception with space rabies and gets a nat 20.
Yep.
I mean, that's great. It's really great. I did like later on when he gets in the fight with Beverly and goes wandering off, and then he wanders in front of a bunch of TVs, and then it's all of these like duck hunting season stuff, the duck season, rabbit season from Bugs Bunny, and then like I think somebody they talk about duck hunt on somebody jokes around about talk about a duck hunt, and I'm like, oh hey, they talk about the video game because you know duck hunt video game, like it's just a lot of the duck what's the right word? Metaphors? No. Yes. I don't know. Whatever. Puns. Definitely duck puns.
It was weird.
How about a duck that's afraid of water?
Yeah, he can't swim, which...
He can't fly either.
Yeah.
If God wanted them to fly, he would have let them still have the ability to fly.
Taken away their wings.
Right, exactly. I was like, what? But I did appreciate how they explained it as ape on our planet, apes turned into humans. But on Howard's planet, ducks turned into duck people.
Well, I also like how after that, Howard just keeps calling everybody hairless monkeys and telling them to go get a banana and shit.
Yes.
He's so racist.
God, what? No.
Racist, I'm sorry.
There you go. I've got the scene of the diner. This is after Jeffrey. Oh shit! What's his name? Jeffrey Jones? No,
Dr. Jennings.
Dr. Jennings. Thank you. Well, yeah. He gets infected by the Overlord, and he's trying to fight it off, and then can't. And they go to a diner and eat. That scene was so like up and down for me. Like it started out so dumb, and then got really bonkers. And then got really dumb again. Like, it went everywhere. But actually, I enjoyed it. Like, seeing Jennings go crazy as his overlord while the whole entire patronage of the diner is getting ready to just...
Howard?
Yeah, to just kill him. And they're going so far as to seasoning him before they cut off his head. Like, what? I don't fucking... It's.
I'd also like to point out how, like... almost every other dude in this movie is kind of rapey.
Yeah. Well, again, an 80s, a classic 80s trope. Every dude that isn't the main character is a little rapey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you know they're a bad guy, right?
Yep, exactly. You know they're a bad guy if they want to rape everybody.
Yeah.
But also talking one of those high, cool talking voices, right? Like, it's like, hey, baby. You know, it's like, why don't we go cuddle? And it's like, what?
No.
Happened in the 80s to people. Like, I know cocaine was alive, but holy shit.
There was a lot.
I also have another note about the cops in this movie being a pretty accurate assessment of cops in general.
I've got a note talking about that as well. But
they had a really bad, they were really bad at their job. Uh-huh. Their first instinct is to shoot to kill.
Yep.
And they would rather not have to do the extra work. So they're just going to go ahead and, you know, do the easiest way possible.
Yeah.
And they have no respect for anybody's personal boundaries.
So adding on to that, once I think it's from the diner. Yeah. When Jennings takes Beverly away and then Howard is trying to figure out what's going on. The cops go there with Phil still in the car. Howard breaks Phil out, kind of, sort of. And then they find a plane in the garbage that they fix up. I'm using air quotes.
That was a gyro glider. How dare you?
Whatever. At that point in time, I stopped paying attention.
fair. Fair.
Well, okay. I wasn't paying attention for a lot of it. But they fix it up, and they start going. They're flying through the town, and at one point they're flying low enough that they're like buzzing the road, but the cops are like chasing them. And there is one scene where I think a cop car rams into this flower truck, and like the guy driving the truck had just gotten out, and the plane, the gyro, whatever the fuck, it goes flying over, and the guy is like ducks behind the truck. And then immediately one of the cop cars rams into it and like literally blows up the truck. That guy's
explosion.
Dead.
Yeah.
That guy
yeah.
is dead. Mm-hmm. And then
don't worry. The dash cam shows that it wasn't the cop's fault. So it's okay.
Burn. Then also what was it? The banner gets onto the one cop car, and instead of stopping, he drives for like another 2 miles into the water.
To be fair, there was a hole. There was a hole. I don't think there was supposed to be, but there very well, there clearly was a hole that he could look out of, so they could actually do the scene in one take. Yeah. Yep.
I'm also pretty sure that they were never actually flying that little gyroplane. I think they had it on a crane the whole time, which is why they had to keep low while they were flying.
Probably. You know what? I can believe it.
Because that's one of the first things he says. He says, all right, Howard, let's fly there, but make sure you keep low. And it's like, no, why would you keep low? Why wouldn't you fly up away from everything to where they don't know where you're going?
I mean, they can still see.
Super makes sense.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Or how about when they knock all the duck hunters out of the boats?
That was so fucking dumb. Like, I get why he did it, of course.
But not one of those duck hunters saw a 3-foot duck and thought to themselves, that duck right there would be the trophy I want for today.
Right?
Right. Unlike the entire diner that was like, hey, this is a 3-foot duck. Let's tie him down
and eat him
like Gulliver's Travels to the fucking table and chop him up and fry him.
So fuck it. Like that makes sense, I guess, because it's a duck at a diner, but.
Well, what was the restaurant? Spicy Cajun Sushi?
Yes. Yeah, something like that. Like sushi. It was half Cajun. It was half Cajun, half like, I think it was sushi or something like that. Both very insensitive.
Well, then also the special was
playing off tropes.
Basically just breakfast. Just eggs and bacon and like...
That's Which I actually did appreciate that as a joke. Okay. Yeah, I actually super appreciated that joke. I thought that was really good. So there were three moments in this movie where I was up to a point and then I tapped out. And then I blacked out a little bit and then I came back to it and then I tapped out.
Okay.
The first one was realizing that in Howard's world, everything is a duck pun.
That's
the
early
second
on.
Time. Yeah. So I tapped out pretty early in the first. It took me about 10 minutes to get back into it. The second time was when it was the second night and What's Her Nuts is going through his wallet.
Yeah.
She pulls out a condom.
Open condom.
A condom that had no wrapper on it. Didn't even look real. Just pulls it out and goes, oh, Howard.
And it was so tiny.
It was the tiniest little condom I had ever seen, not wrapped. And then she just gently places it back down into his wallet. And I was like, all right. Okay, I'm going to tap out for a little bit. And then when he is trying to, well, okay, so there's actually four. When he was going to where the laser was to go home, yeah. And I was like, oh shit, cool. I'm almost done with this movie. And I realized I was only halfway through it. that super bummed me out because I was like, oh, we still got a long way to go here. Okay. And then towards the end, when he is trying to do the laser gun thing, and he's like, they're like, Howard, you have to blow up the satellite. And he literally wastes the last possible minute to shoot that fucking laser off, which then blows the whole thing up. I was like, I'm not even going to watch the end of this movie. I'm just going to let it play. And if I pay attention, I pay attention.
All right. See, they had to wait to the last minute because the evil overlords of the universe had to be inside the transmitter when he blew it up so he could kill all of them too.
Well, but it's not that he had to wait the last minute. He could blow up whenever because they were already on their way. He waited to the last minute because he was unsure if he wanted to blow it up because he was debating whether or not he wanted to go home. So that was the only way home for the time being. I don't know. I will say that the evil overlord, when he got out of Jennings and was there, I thought that was pretty cool. That was a really cool design for the 80s. The special effects on it, I think, while cheap compared to what it is now.
They were the same ones they used for Ghostbusters, I think.
Were they?
For the dogs in the first one.
Okay, so that'd be fine. That worked. That I was okay with. Jennings glowing, I was okay with. Kinda, sorta.
I thought the stuff with Jennings looked great. I thought when, like, Final Form Frieza Demon looked fucking terrible. I didn't know what, like, yeah, and I know it's the 80s and it was, like, claymation.
Yeah, and that's
right.
You gotta put it in the mindset of the 80s. You put it in the mindset of today, it's not going to work.
Totally. Agree with you. But you know what else came out in the 80s? Clash of the Titans. And that looked way fucking better than whatever this was.
When's the last time you watched Clash of the Titans?
A very long time ago, and I'm just simply going off reference, and I still think it looked better. So fuck you, Joe Gennaro.
Okay.
Look, he's over there trying to watch Clash of the Titans. Well, these two are fucking arguing about Morris Day and Time.
Fair.
Okay.
Nah, man.
Any other points you guys want to talk about before I go into
How about Jennings' nasty ass fucking tongue that he uses in the truck when he's trying to gain more power?
More power? Yeah.
I mean,
so I actually regrettably rewound that. I hit the the go back button because I was not totally sure where he stuck it at first, and I was very confused on what was happening because I was like, oh wait, hold on, what? That brought me that I had tapped out for a while, and that brought me back in, and I was like, oh okay, so at least it was the car. I got a little worried. also classic trope. If you are a bad guy, you have to steal a semi at some point and drive it around like a badass.
That was, yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of my favorite things about watching this time around, though, was Charity had never seen it, so I made her come over and watch it.
Nice.
And the whole time, she's like, what the fuck am I watching? And I'm just like, just enjoy it. It's great.
That sounds like Charity. Like, she definitely wouldn't. I'm assuming she didn't like it. I'm assuming she hated it.
I don't think she was impressed with it, but I don't think that she hated it. I've probably made her watch a lot worse movies than that. So. Okay,
that's fair. That is fair. All right, so I'll go ahead and hit up the bingo. So we definitely have product placement throughout the movie.
Yeah, I think that's how they got their big, huge budget.
They had to
the amount of product placement that they had in this.
There's one time when Howard breaks the fourth wall. We do get sort of an origin flashback. Did we? I thought we did.
I don't think so.
I wrote it down, but okay.
I mean, they kind of.
There's that part where he's talking about how. Every time he sees an egg, it reminds him of his childhood, but I don't think
What it was. Okay, so it was, I think, the train, when he's in the apartment for the first night, there's a train that runs by, and he gets flashback to him getting sucked through the portal. That's what I count
that as an origin story.
That's how he got to Earth.
All right, I'll give you that one. Obviously, we've got the unexplainable science and the comic book logic because, well, the whole movie.
I wrote down identity crisis, but I only wrote that down because he actually says, I'm having an identity crisis. So I'm not going to count that. I just want to write that down.
Hey, we can't argue with him if he's safe.
Yeah, if he's just going to admit it, I mean, it's fine.
We do get a villain monologue when the Overlord. We do get a Wilhelm scream. It was when the cops, I think, were being like shot at or attacked. We get a Wilhelm scream, and I like screamed like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. would we say betrayal by a friend with Jennings?
Because
he was a friend.
Betrayal by a friend would be more like when Filzy brings them into the apartment while she's, you know,
pleasuring. Okay.
Like, I don't care what she says about just joking. She was trying to get herself some duck D.
Well, the funny thing was, he was joking, and then she actually was kind of into it. And he's like, "Woo, maybe I'm not."
And he's like, wait. No interspecies erotica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one is responsibility thingy. Because he had to do the responsible thing and blow up the satellite. So, yeah, that is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got bingo.
Oh, yeah.
We got 2 bingos, technically. So
nice. That's the most bingos we've had yet.
It was. Yay. So now we get to the fun part. The rating.
Oh, yes.
So out of 10, Chuck, start with you. What do you rate this?
All right. Nostalgia glasses. Right? Rose-tinted nostalgia glasses for a movie I've never seen.
Okay, that could barely be on because you just have the nostalgia for the comics and the character. Not
right. And even then, this is not good. So if I'm going to be generous, I'm going to say a 4.7.
Okay.
That's pretty damn generous.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's
more generous than I thought. Okay.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like Ron said, panties in a wash house does save this movie a little bit. So,
oh, we didn't even talk about the wash house. His job.
Damn it! I had that written in my notes somewhere too. I actually wrote. Look, I wrote a lot of notes for this one.
That's fair. Well, yeah, because we had to watch it separately.
Yeah.
All right, Ron, what do you give it?
Okay, so. Given the, like he said, nostalgia, because I actually really did like this movie as a kid, mostly for the panties in the bathhouse. And then Jeffrey Jones with the whole evil overlord, I gave it a 5.2.
That's actually lower than I thought you'd give it.
Yeah, well, you know.
Still a lot of bad, you know?
Yes, but not enough bad? I don't know. It's definitely bad. Because I myself gave it a 3.5. I did not like this movie. I keep saying that we've seen worse, and we have. This movie is definitely better than those, but there's just the plot's all over the place, And even the seeing Leah Thompson in panties did not save it for me. Tim Robbins was just crazy for crazy's sake and really had no reason to be. Jeffrey
but
Jones.
Don't worry, he redeemed himself with Shawshank.
Yeah, oh God, Shawshank was amazing. Also, Nothing to Lose with Martin Lawrence. That's a great movie, too.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, he does a lot of good movies.
Wow.
Jeffrey Jones was amazing at it, too. Like, he did an amazing job in this film.
Best part of the movie, I think, honestly, other than Lee Thompson's panties.
So, honestly, probably. But that gives us an overall score of 4.47, which, if I find my notes, sorry.
It's only like, what, the sixth lowest?
It gives us, what does that say, 4.47? It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6 from the bottom.
Fuck, I'm good. I don't even have my book here.
It's right behind Amazing Spider-Man from 77 and just above Batman the Movie from 66. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
I would definitely watch this.
So, Chuck, I'm guessing that, yeah, he does give you the movies that are, you know,
yeah,
below.
Yeah. Hey, you want to bring me up for a movie I might actually enjoy? That'd be wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Gennaro.
Listen, fuckers. You weren't here for the Captain Americas. Be grateful.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's true. You
we had, to be fair, we had, I did have one of them on VHS. I also had The Flash on VHS, too. So,
Which Flash?
Like the old TV show?
No, I believe it was an old movie.
Flash Gordon?
A friend. No, like The Flash, the DC character.
Yeah, like the old TV show.
Yeah,
the 90s.
I don't
TV
know.
Show.
Maybe it was the 90s TV show. All I remember, it was an hour and a half long. Okay. It felt like a movie. But who knows?
That's fair.
The suit did not fit him well. Let's put it that way.
Was it a big, heavy rubber mask?
No, it was cloth. I'm pretty sure. Mm. The whole thing was like cloth.
I will say this. We had Ben Rutherford, medium-sized Ben, on for...
medium-sized Ben?
For the Gen 13 cartoon, and it was worse than this, so...
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I believe that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The redeeming titties in that were all cartoon, so it doesn't even count.
It doesn't count, no.
Yeah, because they were also blurred out, so...
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, that is our... That's our coverage of Howard the Duck.
Woo.
Yeah. I definitely would not recommend this.
You know what? I have actually already asked a couple people if they wanted to watch it because I've got it on DVD right now.
Nice. Very nice.
Fair. So I will say this. I will recommend it.
Absolutely.
Once everything, you know, if you're back, if you're vaccinated and you're able to gather now, your first house party back, where you guys just want to get absolutely obliterated drunk. I mean, holding on to the grass from falling off the earth drunk. Watch Howard the Duck and create a drinking game based over every duck pun that is used.
Oh my God, you were drunk
within 5 minutes.
Exactly. And then you could enjoy the movie.
I mean, he's making some good points.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I can't disagree with those. Yeah, okay. Chuck, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you on the internet.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and squirrels, you can find me and my show with my co-host Tim, who's been on this program before, Elite 8 Showdown on all podcasting platforms, we think. We're not totally sure.
Yeah,
we're just assuming.
You had that little hiccup the other day.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on.
It's fine. It probably, you know, figured itself out.
Fixed itself. Yeah. I mean, I got like literally 19 messages. And then every time somebody messaged me, I messaged Tim and he goes, "I'm fixing it. Stop messaging me." I'm like, listen,
they're
just messaging me constantly. So I'm just letting you know.
I was going to message you guys, but I'm like, no, I'll wait. I'm fine. I'm kind of glad I didn't know.
Yeah, we appreciated it. Thank you.
Yep.
My show, Elite 8 Showdown, we take an 8-subject bracket elimination tournament every week on literally anything and everything from craziest comic book crossovers to the worst person to date your daughter to hot dog toppings. Literally anything. Coming down the pipe, we just did... what was the one we just
did? This is coming out in beginning of July, so...
Beginning of July. We haven't even started recording yet. The last thing we just recorded was Oh, hottest TV dads Father's Day. So check that episode out. We also have coming up for July 4th, the most dangerous thing about July 4th. we will be crowning the most dangerous thing.
Joey with the Roman candle.
Yep pretty much.
I about blinded Ron here with the Roman candle. Yep.
Fair.
Shot me right in the eye.
Shout out to my general manager at my job who got really drunk and almost blew himself up to the point where his wife said she was going to leave him if he ever tried to do it again. And he has never drank ever since. So good. Shout out to him.
Nice.
Yeah. But head over to Patreon. Head over to Professional Casual.
You're just pushing that hard, aren't you?
Do you know how I have to drop patreon.com/professionalcasual like 14 times? Doesn't matter what episode it is. Tim's like, we got to push the Patreon. Which is not true. I'm just like, I don't know. Okay, we need money.
Yeah,
poor. I get you. I understand. So, but professionalcasual.com is the hub. The hottest hub on the internet. Ignore all the others. Go there and check out all of the shows over the Professional Casual Network, and get access to Elite Eight Showdown.
Yes. You can go check out our shirts over on Redbubble and TeePublic. Our song was done by Cam. Wait, which one is this one? Yeah, Cam from Wreck My Podcast and one half of the Sex Turtles. You can go follow us on... Yeah, that's what Joe and Cam came up with
the name. Yeah,
I gotta say it every time. I know they don't. Yeah. I know they don't do anything, but I'm still gonna say it.
Fair.
Go follow us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown. You can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or on your podcasting app of choice. If you do, let us know. We will read it on an upcoming show, like we did on our last Chitty Chats. I think that is everything. Our next movie, Ron, that we're going to be covering, if I'm correct, should be the Donner cut of Superman 2.
Oh, so we're in for a little bit of a longer movie.
Not much longer. I don't think it's very much longer. Actually, I'll have to double check. It might actually be shorter. But
is that the one where he throws the cellophane Superman symbol at somebody?
That's Superman 2. That's
number 2.
I think that might have been the original, the one that actually came out in theaters. I don't know if that's in the Donner cut, because I don't think I've ever actually seen the Donner cut. So we're going to be in for a fun trip. I mean, we literally just did Superman, so a lot of the plot beats are going to be the exact same. So it might be a shorter episode, but we'll see. I don't know. We'll find out when we record. Chuck, thank you very much for coming on to this episode. And
absolutely.
Next time you're on, we will have a better movie. I swear.
Okay.
So can I make a recommendation? Do that.
It's recorded. It's fine. What's your recommendation?
I'm going to go ahead and do what I do at my show, which is yell something out. So then it's canon from now on. Bring me on for the 2004 banger. That is the Punisher movie starring Thomas Jane and John Travolta.
If we do that, you got to come on for the 85, 86.
Oh,
Dolph Lundgren.
Deal.
Dolph Lundgren.
Okay.
Deal. I'll do both. Because the 04 because Punisher movie, I didn't know myself till I saw that movie. So so sign me up for it.
That one is actually, we'll be hitting that this year. So yeah.
Excellent.
I think.
Bring me on, baby.
We've got on the Marvel side, we've got the Incredible Hulk Returns, which is the TV movie, and then the Trial of the Incredible Hulk, which is the TV movie before that 1989 Punisher. So
are we just gonna watch both of those together?
No. Nope. Yeah. We're gonna torture ourselves. That's the point of the show, is to torture us. So
Joey's really a closet sadist. He just doesn't want to admit it.
Fair. Yep. Super fair.
All right, everyone. We will catch you next time.
See ya.
Bye.